Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on? You know what it is. It's Ratchet Irrational yet again. Me and our host, Ambiance. You know, we're going to be talking to Joey G today. He's got a new single called Superhero, and he's calling from overseas, so let's not keep him on hold too long. Let's tune in right now. Joey G, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, DJ Trovo? I'm doing well.
Hey.
Great to speak to you.
Yeah, definitely, you know, welcome to Ratchet Irrational. Do know that, you know, we're going to have some great conversation, we're going to talk about different things, and just overall, just have fun and get to know more about you and, you know, some of the things that you stand for. So let's start off with Superhero. Why that choice, you know, and the name for your song?
Right, I'm a big superhero fan, you know, I love Marvel, I love DC Comics. But, you know, I've noticed, you know, because of my love for superheroes, I've noticed that superheroes basically have three characteristics. They're usually trying to save the world. They're willing to lay down their lives for their cause, and they're willing to take big risks in order to achieve their aim. And because of that, I kind of likened it to, well, the greatest superhero of all, you know, is Jesus, you know, and Jesus fulfills all these attributes as well. So that's the thinking behind Superhero.
Okay. I can definitely dig it. So why is it, you know, you look at the superhero movies that, you know, the clear people make, and you look at the superhero movies that are made after, you know, African-Americans, why is there always a difference in, like, powers and, you know, and just a difference in the whole portrayal of the movie, would you say?
Okay. If all the superheroes had the same kind of power, it'll get boring, wouldn't it? So I suppose it keeps it exciting, you know, that they all have different, you know, powers, and you just kind of, you know, I think that's also part of the sort of selling point, if you like, you know, that, you know, all the superheroes kind of have different powers. And then as the films evolve, you find that, you know, they maybe discover more about their abilities, and so their powers are heightened, and, you know, it just keeps you kind of hooked, if you like, you know. And it's interesting. I mean, like, you can see they all have part one, part two, part three, and it keeps us coming back for more.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, because I look at, like, you know, what was that? With Wakanda, I can't think of the name of the movie. You know, it's not Black Panther. Huh? What is it called? The Ambiance?
What movie? You talking about Wakanda?
With Wakanda Forever and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You look at that one, and then you look at all the tragedy and stuff that he had to overcome. Like, it's basically his uncle was, you know, sleeping around and all those different types of things.
Yep.
And then he had to fight in order to do that. But then you look at right after that, then they dropped another Marvel movie where basically it didn't have as much controversy in it. And I just think, you know, it's unfair that our superhero powers, you know, are portrayed a little bit differently than other people's superhero powers or superhero struggles. And, you know, I just wondered, you know, when you put that into the music, do you feel like, you know, some of the topics that you're talking about, that you have to embrace those struggles because, you know, of content and also, you know, skin color?
Oh, well, I can kind of see where you're coming from. You're right, you know, when you look at the average, you know, on average, you know, most of the superheroes are, you know, not of black, you know, black American or black African descent. But, you know, that's kind of why I like Hancock, you know. And, you know, you do get the odd token, you know, black American. But obviously, I haven't concentrated so much on that. I've just looked at some of the qualities that they all kind of share, which is they're all fighting for a cause, and they're all trying to save the world, and they're willing to risk their lives. And if you look at what Jesus did for us, Jesus fulfilled all that criteria. And, you know, the superheroes struggle, don't they, sometimes? or sometimes they're trying to find out who they are, trying to find their identity. But Jesus was different in that respect because he knew what he was all about. He knew what he came to do. You know, he said, you know, he told the people that he'd come to save the world. So Jesus knew his identity from the word go.
Now, are you saying
okay.
Jesus?
I'm being honest. What are your thoughts?
Hold on. Are you saying Jesus like Jesus Christ?
Yes, Jesus Christ, yes.
Comparing Jesus Christ to a mythical creature or a superhero because it's fictional?
Okay. Basically, I am in the song, I'm basically portraying Jesus as the greatest superhero. Just trying to use, you know, the whole concept of superheroes to point people to the ultimate superhero, if you want to use that expression. Of course, Jesus is greater than any superhero. He's God. You know what I mean? But, you know, like in this day and age where a lot of young people and a lot of youngsters don't know much about, you know, about the Bible, I think it's a good way to draw a parallel. And then if they want to find out more, then they can maybe read the Bible for themselves and then, you know, make up their minds for themselves. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Well, the comparison that I see is because they're both fictional characters. So we're basically, you're basically comparing two fictional characters to each other. Is that also implies that people believe in Jesus Christ, or that they have, when you're comparing it to basically a character that's been made up in someone's mind, which ultimately I think Jesus Christ is. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't really.
Okay.
Oh,
but
yeah, shots fired.
I respect your point of view, but as far as I'm concerned, Jesus is not a fictional character. The reason why I say that is the whole of history revolves around Jesus. Everything is either BC or AD. We're in 2018, that's 2018 AD after Jesus' resurrection. So history, every time you write the date, you're acknowledging that someone called Jesus Christ existed. So I don't think Jesus is a fictional character at all. Jesus actually existed, and the history books back it up. That's where I'm coming from.
Okay, so real quick. First and foremost, if we look at the history of slavery and the Bible, Jesus Christ has predominantly been a white man used to convince slaves to be slaves. So if we're living in a world at that time where slaves were not allowed to read or write or educate themselves in any way, why would their slave master give them any tools to better them? That's one.
Yeah.
Two, if we let's look at just simple evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Natural History Museum. Actually, I have two bits of evidence. Natural History Museums have no exhibit related to the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is fictional. It is written by man. Two, if you ever go into a bookstore, where are Bibles? In the fiction.
But I think that, you know, Jesus used, and God used man to create the biblical story, if you look at some of the studies. At least that's what I firmly believe.
And
so, because that's how
he works. Exactly what Jesus is a biblical story. So I'm like the comparison between Jesus and a mythical creature and a superhero who is a fictional creature written by a man. I mean, I see the correlation there. So, but it's just like this perception.
I think we're gonna have to agree to disagree there, because to me, I mean, obviously you can tell I'm a Christian hip hop artist. I believe the Bible. I believe that Jesus is not a fictional character. I believe Jesus is God. And I'm only trying to draw a comparison. You know, like I said earlier, it's up to people to make up their minds. Obviously, that's your viewpoint, which I disagree with, and you're free to disagree with my viewpoint. So we're going to have to agree to disagree.
You're drawing a comparison with a fictional character. So that's where it's just like you're kind of making the argument for me.
Yeah, 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 What I'm saying is, I'm never going to agree with you that Jesus is a fictional character. To me, Jesus is God. Jesus existed, you know, way in 2018 after Jesus' resurrection. I'm never going to agree with you, and you're never going to agree with me. So, you know, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
And me being a neutral party, you know, I think that everybody's entitled to their views, you know, and religion
is
a tough subject, you know, that people are never going to completely agree on, because everybody's studying and everybody's comprehension of everything is always going to be different and subject to what they strongly believe. You know, I'm a firm believer, you know, in God, but there are certain things that I don't necessarily understand as it relates to what's going on in the world and stuff. And I think that that's what, you know, Ambiance is hinting at as well, too. Certain things that don't make sense to us, you know, as man, but, you know, in the Holy Spirit, there are things that we understand, you know, if that's what you believe in, that kind of make it all parallel, you know, and how the Bible was written, you know, and stuff like that, and all the different things that God has brought on to earth. And I think that that's a subject that we could debate about on forever, but I understand, you know, that we don't want to just tie the whole series into it, but I think that everybody should, you know, get across their points and stuff on, you know, on what it is that they feel, because that makes for great conversation, because we all share different viewpoints, you know, as it relates to, you know, the man upstairs, or, you know, or just religion in general. So why, you know, moving into a different, you know, thing, why Christian rap? You know, I mean, you look at rap, and that's just, for so long, it's just been about, you know, drugs and violence, or uplifting the people in the community, or whatever. Now I think that we're moving more towards druggy rap, you know, which is another subject, you know, that Ambiance and I, you know, heavily, you know, agree sometimes or disagree on. But why, you know, what I never understood is what makes somebody, I guess, want to come out and rap about Jesus. That's not always, like, a favorable subject, you know, in the sense, or hasn't been for some time in rap.
I grew up in Nigeria. And growing up, I love, you know, rap music, I love hip hop, and I became a Christian when I was 11. I became a serious Christian when I was 16. Now, of course, way back in the day, I loved LL Cool J and Curtis Blow and MC Hammer and New Edition and, you know, all these different rappers. So I've always liked rap music, but then I found out about not so long after I became a Christian, a dedicated Christian, I found out about a Christian. They were kind of like a rap crew. It was just three of them, called DC Talk. You might have heard of them. They're from the States. Have you ever heard of DC Talk? Way back in the day. So I found out.
I don't think
them,
I have.
And,
Okay.
Yeah, I thought they won the scene between the sort of early 90s into the late 90s as a band. So I found out about them, you know, I found out about this Christian band, you know, doing rap music, good music, but it was rap. And so I got really inspired that, wow, this is the sort of stuff I like. They're doing the kind of music I like, but they're still getting the message across. And because they inspired me so much, I just started to write songs, you know, for fun initially. And then I believe God inspired me to do a one-off album to raise money for humanitarian efforts. And that was kind of how I got into rap music, really, and using it in different contexts.
Okay, okay. I can dig it. Now, go ahead, Ambiance, did you have a question?
Yeah, because it's just like, I'm kind of stuck on one thing and I'm trying to get off of it. So basically going off of what we've been talking about, and granted we're going to have different beliefs. I mean, I have evidence to support what my claim. So there are, 75,000 branches of Catholicism alone. And looking at historically what religions are in Nigeria is, I'm just like, how do you become Christian in Nigeria? Like, what colonizer came over and decided to, you know, teach you about Jesus? And how, what was your religion prior to that? Because it's just like,
okay,
hip hop is about uplifting and educating. And to talk, to bring Jesus into the mix is basically telling a lie to people. It's one thing I understand. We're all talking about. Let's be clear. I believe in a God, but God is called many different things by many different people. So I believe in Mother, Father, God, meaning that I believe God is a woman, but I don't believe that. God came down, impregnated a white woman, had a white child, and that white child is the savior of all of us people. Especially since this is like where it's like a, like from Nigeria, which is a part of the mother country. So it would seem like your beliefs would be more self-centered with a you being the king or the woman being the queen, and it just seems like a contradiction that. Especially going to hip hop music, where we're trying to teach an uplifting. Jesus is not uplifting. He teaches. He basically puts people in their place and keeps them subservient to white ideology.
Okay. Can I? You've asked a lot of questions there. Can I try? I'll try my best to address. Can I try and address some of your questions, please? Because I gave you a chance.
I'm going to give you the original question because I gave you so many of them. The original question was how were you converted into Christianity in Nigeria?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what basically happened was, I was born in London. I was born in the UK. My parents took me back to Nigeria when I was two. My parents got divorced when I was five. So my mom left. So my dad took me to my grandma. My grandma brought me up. And my grandma used to take me to church when I was little. We just used to go to what you might call the important festivals. So we'll go for Christmas or go for Easter or go, you know, when there was a funeral or a wedding or that sort of thing. But I didn't actually, so I was brought up, I went to church, I knew the Bible stories because my grandma used to pray with us morning and evening. But then some of my cousins came back from the UK and came back to Nigeria, and they told us that it's not enough to know about Jesus. Yes, I knew the Bible stories. Yes, I went to church, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. So they said, it's not just good for you to, you need to have a relationship with Jesus because he died for you so that your sins can be forgiven. So I asked Jesus into my life when I was 11. Now, to answer some of your questions about, you know, slavery and all that sort of thing, let me bring one thing to your attention. I'm sure you know this. Not all the white people who came and colonized, you know, Africans, they were not all evil. They were missionaries in the mix as well. And it was the missionaries that set up schools, provided vocational training, defended the black people that were being ill-treated. So, you know, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. They weren't all evil. There were a lot of missionaries who did a lot of good. They were there for progress, development, advancement of the surroundings. They set up schools and taught the black people skills. And you can't call Jesus a white man. Jesus was a Jew. Jews aren't Caucasian. They aren't like Europeans. They're not. So you can't say Jesus, you know, you can't say Jesus Caucasian. Jesus was a Jew. And Jesus didn't oppress people. Jesus taught us to love one another. Jesus helped the oppressed. Jesus loved the children. Jesus stood up for the woman who people wanted to stone. So how could you say Jesus was just all about putting people down? Jesus stood up for the oppressed. How could you say Jesus was, you know, was just around, you know, just to oppress people? That's not my Jesus. My Jesus is loving, kind, and he paid the ultimate price by dying for us. He could have escaped. Have the power. He walked through the crowd so many times, but he willingly went to the cross and died for us so we can be saved. A God who loves us so much that he gave his life, how could you say that he was all about oppression?
Okay, so for you may bring up a couple points. Not all whites, I don't believe all white people are evil, but typically when, you know, people came to colonize, they came to take the resources. Nigeria is in West Africa, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so which is full of the most abundant resources. We strip Africa of everything. We go there for everything. Everything we have comes from Africa. So Jesus did not come from Africa. Jesus, and let me be clear. Jesus is different for Jesus means different things to different people. And I understand and don't want to tread on your ideologies. But
yeah.
When I feel like your ideologies are misinforming people, and now you're using hip hop, which is already hip hop and rap, which is already being, you know, is already being destroyed in so many mannerisms in regards to the industry and their control over it. Now you're bringing in Jesus, who for the majority of Americans has been a white man. Who has a white mother and a white stepfather. And these images were placed in the church and given to slaves to praise, to make them feel inferior to the white man. So this imagery has been portrayed. Now, you talked about coming from London. London typically was from people from European descent. So in order to create this inferiority conflict or the superiority conflict, they give us a God that we are supposed to worship. But in actuality, we ourselves are God. So that's my ultimate thing. It's just like, it's very frustrating for me, and I respect you as a person, but it's very frustrating for me to come across a person of color who I believe is a reincarnation of God that gives Jews, there are black Jews. Yeah, I get this. But predominantly, we are not Jews. Nigerian religion was not Christianity. So for you to go, for it was brought to you. You have your own culture and religion that you could take from and educate about that would empower a people, but instead you're holding true, and these are your beliefs. I apologize if I'm, you know, impeding or making you feel a certain type of way, but at the end of the day, I'm very defensive about hip-hop. I'm very defensive about rap, and everybody seems to want to come in. And I understand your image is a lot better than the trap music and the drug use and the whatnot, but I still feel like it's oppressive overall. All these things that you're everything.
But it's
is
a ministry, though, and I think that's where our beliefs differ, because his music is a way, if you're a Christian, the way that I see it, it's a way of evangelizing, you know, and that's what you have. That's what you take on the responsibility to do as a Christian is to spread the word of God. And it's no different than the people that live in one state and gangbang, and it's not what they're accustomed to doing, but it's what happens that when you have a group of migrating people that bring different trends or different things or different values and different beliefs to different states. It's just that let me get it out before you cut me off, because we all got to get a chance to talk. You know, it's like, so everybody has their own understanding, and that's what makes music music. It's their own unspoken words of, you know, of image or the voice that they want to create. Let me get one more point out. And so that's the way I see it. Like when we're talking, I hear your side and I hear his side, and I'm kind of on the fence for both, because, you know, I understand the studying and the image and everything that it's done. But I think that that has more to do with a worldly view, because everything that's presented to us always happens to be white. But then that's where it's up to us to recreate those different images and to use our voice as a ministry to get it out there. And I think that, you know, it's just no different, because that's, if we say and we come from that point of perspective, then that's just like somebody who creates something that may not be, you know, African American based, and African Americans come into it and try to do better at it. It's like the guy that did the rock and roll, you know, and the white Americans were saying, this is not where it is that you're supposed to be, because this was meant for us. It's not meant for color. And I think that we can't oppress people because they're trying to get across a message in their own level of comfort and in their own format. Okay. Now you may talk.
All right. So, wait, hold on.
And your background is loud. You got to move around. We can't hear you.
That's the point. No, that's the point that I'm trying to make. That should be oppressive. It, look, the imagery. It's like the point that I was trying to make. That's like somebody from Chicago coming to L.A. to talk about the Crips and the Bloods, to teach them about the Crips and the Bloods. Motherfucker, we created the Crips and the Bloods. So how are you going to tell us about something? I just don't understand how a country as rich as Nigeria, that with the culture that it has, is coming. Okay. I'm going to back up off of this because this is longer than it ultimately should. But when it comes down to music, and my belief system in that is that it's oppressive. You're sitting there, and the imagery that is painted all over the world is of a white Jesus. And not one of you can say differently. It is a white man. So we're praising a white man. We are looking up to a white man as our savior. No, we need to save ourselves, and we need to educate ourselves about what the world was really about, or what happened prior to colonization, or before London decided to come over to West Africa and teach us about a white God. And a Jew is a white God. We are
okay.
God.
I am not, I don't concentrate too much on Jesus' color, to be honest with you. I know it's a big thing for you from what I can deduce and make out from how you keep emphasizing the fact that, you know, Jesus, that it's a white man we're praising. I'm not hung up about Jesus' color. I know, all I know is Jesus, who was God, came down. He could have come down as a black man. He could have come down as a Hispanic man. He could have come down as a Chinese man or an Asian man. But God chose it to be the Jewish nation. That was God's plan. That's what we call sovereign foundation. I'm not God. God is sovereign. God decided it to be that way. And Jesus is my savior. And like I said earlier, it doesn't sit well with you. Well, that's your choice. But as for me, I've chosen that way, and nothing's going to move me from that. And we're just trying to get the message across, and it's up to people to decide. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that includes you. But if you choose to reject it, well, that's fine.
So how hard has it been for you to get that message across? Like, you know, what is your listening base like, you know, and just integrating, you know, your music? We definitely, you know, appreciate it, you know, getting, you know, new music to put into rotation here at Carrick and Radio, because it broke across the norm. The norm that we, you know, typically get is, you know, songs that have bitch this, bitch that, ho, suck my dick, you know, let's do some drugs, you know, and go to this party and drink 40s type of music. So to get a different, you know, a different vibe and a different thing, I mean, but that's just a synopsis of what a lot of people want to rap around. You know, hip-hop has become polluted now, you know, with, you know, and now we've got this new thing called druggy rap, which people are calling hip-hop, which is absolutely, you know, not true. So, you know, but at the same token, you know, talking about Christianity in music is, you know, kind of like the same you know, in the sense of marketing-wise, before you go in on me,
yeah.
Leon's, marketing-wise, it's the same as, you know, trying to market conscious hip-hop. You know, I'm not saying it's the same subject, but just marketing-wise,
yeah.
It's not what everybody wants to hear. So, you know, you as an artist, how do you get it out there? How do you get the message out there? Are you able to perform, you know, at your church and
yeah.
stuff like that? You know, what is that like? Talk about that process.
Okay. I've had the opportunity of performing in so many venues. So I go into the pubs. I don't know what you Americans call pubs or clubs or on the street, schools, colleges, universities, churches, of course, youth clubs, just whatever venue, even I've been on TV, you know, so I've had the opportunity of using the music in so many different venues.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I've been to many countries as well, using it, you know, admissions and stuff. So I've been to about 18 countries across 4 continents using the rap to get the message across to different people.
Okay. So what is a hip-hop show like for you? Like, you know, I've only been to Ratchet Show, so it's a lot of weed smoking and liquor and girls gyrating and stuff like that. I've never been to, like, a hip-hop rap show. What is that like? You know, walk us through the process.
When you say a hip-hop rap show, what do you mean? You mean if
like,
I'm
you know, what is your performance like? Like, say you were going to be performing, you know, at a festival or something tomorrow.
Yeah.
What would your set be like?
Okay, right. So, for example, I'll give you an example. Like, I've been to Hungary and Romania for like a music festival, and basically I go on and I do about maybe 4 or 5 tracks. I usually make it interactive, you know, like most rappers do. You know, maybe during the hook. So I'll introduce that before each song, which bit I want them to come in. And then you know, like, explain a little bit about what each track is about, and then get the people to join in between the songs. You know, like most rappers
okay.
will do.
Right. Dope. Now, do you find, like, there's so much controversy, you know, with music in general, and, you know, and as we
yeah.
just having, like, the heated, you know, debate just now, some people only want certain artists in their venues, or they only want to represent certain things, and then some people believe that you've got to create beef, you know, in order to become relevant. Do hip-hop, you know, hip-hop,
yeah.
you know, gospel rappers, do they,
yeah.
you know, do you guys even beef? Do you guys have controversy? Do you guys have scandals and stuff like that, you know, behind the scenes? Like, are you guys popping shots like Cardi B and Nicki Minaj? Like, My Jesus is better than you, you know, type shots.
not in the sense where you battle, but, you know, it's been known, you know, even some Christian rappers have maybe not being in total agreement theologically. I don't know if you get my drift when I say theologically. You know, it's not like, you know, like in America, you know, you've got the East Coast versus West Coast thing. It's not quite like that.
Right.
It's ambience, you know, like you alluded to earlier. There's so many different branches of Christianity. And so... Sometimes the theology is slightly different. So there have been rappers who maybe not been in total agreement, you know. Like, I'll give you a very good example, like one that I've come across personally here in the UK. You know, like my raps are overtly Christian, you know. But there's another school of thought that thinks that perhaps you should be a bit more cryptic about it. Maybe not mention Jesus quite as much, make it a little bit more, you know, subtle, so that, you know, you get people thinking, so that they can come and, like, ask you. And so you get the people who maybe want to mention Jesus a lot. They think, oh, the ones that are trying to be cryptic aren't really, like, representing Jesus. And you get the ones who are maybe wanting to be cryptic. You get them thinking, oh, the ones who are mentioning Jesus are just, like, you know, like holier than thou, just trying to Bible bash people. So you do get a little, you know, you get a bit of that. But it, by and large, you know, most Christian rappers get along quite well.
Okay, okay. And I think that that's, you know, that's normal. Go ahead, Amias.
I just think that, you know, you're supposed to speak about the truth, and that's not very truthful. You people Bible bashing, you have, and I know I said I was going to let it go, and I promised him this was the last one, but you have Bible verses that denounce homosexuality, that say it is a sin, but this is homosexuality sin from the beginning of time. You have Bible verses that say that slavery was, you know, warranted, and that we were supposed to be slaves. There are Bible verses that say that women should be treated like shit. And these are all the problems that we are facing in this world today. That are, we have people in this world who claim to be good Christians who will lynch and kill. And I'm talking about in 2018. So maybe the question is how do you justify that? How do you say, these are Bible-toting Christians. And like I said, there are hundreds of thousands of branches of any type of religion, and from Catholicism to Christianity to agnostic to Baptist to, it's just too numerous for me to even try to think about. And this has nothing to do with God. Like I said before, God is all for all. God is Allah. God is, you know, unless you're Buddhist. You know what I mean? So, but there's about a higher power that we are not omnipresent. We are not able to control and see all. But the issue that I have is just the contradiction between being a good Christian and that good Christian, because you're those Bible turning verses, and you're using the Bible to slander or to oppress people, when those same people will go out and literally maim someone because they prefer the same sex. I just, the whole truth, and I understand.
But it's all left to interpretation, you know? It's all left to interpretation. And the thing of it is it's no secret. But it's no secret that God uses, nobody's perfect. And so God uses people that are at work in progress, and that's the way that he ministers through, you know, through your spirit. And so, and then it's just like when you're going to school, everybody has their own interpretation when they're studying for a test. Some of them, their interpretation is right and they make A's. Some of them, their study habits are not as great and they make C's. And so when you have these people that are out there that are using, you know, the word of God, you know, to justify their actions, that's their understanding of it. Does it make it right? No, but it's no different than an attorney who's taking a lot of money to defend their client because they're making a lot of money when they know that their client killed the person. They know that their client raped the person, but it's not their job to judge their client. It's their job, it's their fiduciary responsibility, if you will, to take that money and to represent them, because that's what they were hired to do. And it's the same, I believe, with God. It's like, just because there is a belief system doesn't mean that it's not going to be corrupt in some way. Is everybody a part of that corruption? No. But at some point, there's going to be some corruption, because that's just the world that we live in. That's just the life that we were brought into, and there's nothing that we can do about that. What you have to do as a human being and as a Christian is you have to study the Word of God, and you have to realize that when you have that one-on-one relationship with God, he ministers to your spirit. He tells you who's for and who against you and everything, stuff like that. But if you don't, understand it, then you're going to rely on different things, and that's where we're going to let this go, and we have to let it go, please, because we've got to move on to something different. If you're not reading the Bible every day and you're not having God into your spirit.
You can't say we're going to let it go and then keep asking the subject, because then I'm going to keep going in. So we're going to let it go on 1, 2, 3, go.
Gone. So, moving into, this is Ratchet and Rational, you know, Joey G, welcome to it. But this is what makes it interesting, because these are all subjects that people don't want to talk about, and they're afraid to talk about, because they think, like, okay, I'm going to hurt this person's feelings, I'm going to do this. But we all three are adults, and we had a conversation, we all share different beliefs, which is great because it makes for great radio. That's awesome, Retro to Retro.
Yeah.
moving into you know, another realm. So as a gospel artist, is it still really the goal as an artist to be signed, you know, or do you want to do it independently, you know, and also, you know, what are your views, and this is not so much on the Bible, just generally speaking, that's what I never understood, and I know that we just said let it go, but this is something that I want to know just from another person's perspective, because I deal with it, wait, just hear me out, you know, why is it that, you know, that the Christian community, because that's one thing that I never understood. Why are they so bashing of the LGBT community, you know, and stuff like that? And why is it hard
to just open the door?
But that's a different door. So we're not talking about religion.
That was
LGBT.
The door, but that was the same door.
LGBT.
Can I answer the question? Is that okay?
Take the floor.
Yeah, okay. So your first question, do I still want to be signed? When I started the music as a business and stuff, of course, I wanted to be signed. And the first album I released, I did it on the another label. So I had a contract of some sort. I set up my own label called A4J Records 5 years. Actually 7 years ago I set that up myself to release my second independent album called Breakthrough the Next Level. So nowadays it's not really my goal to be signed because I do all my promotions myself and with the internet we can, you know, that's so easy to do yourself. Obviously, you know, if you had a big record label behind you, of course, you can make more money and more revenue, but it's no longer a goal of mine to be signed because I've got my own label. Now, to answer your second question, why do the Christians bash the LGBT community? It's not that we bash them. We basically uphold what the Bible says. And according to the Bible, God is in favor of heterosexual relationships. That's what the Bible stipulates. We don't hate the LGBT community. God basically says that a sexual relationship should be between a man and a woman. That's why. That's the only reason. We don't hate them. We're not supposed to hate them. We're not supposed to kill them. We're not supposed to judge them because of that choice they've made. It's only because it's stipulated in the Bible that is an abomination to God. That's the only reason.
Yeah, because I just find that, you know, while I'm not a member of the community, you know, I can see how that, you know, hurts people's feelings because, you know, having an older son who is a part of that community and stuff like that, you know, it's frustrating as a parent to want to know how to, you know, how to help him maneuver through the world and everything in aspects that I don't completely, you know, understand, but you have to be loving, you know, and be patient with. And I think, and those are some of the reasons, you know, which make it hard for him to want to go to church with me. You know, he goes because it's my house, you know, and thus says the Lord that we're all going to, you know, move forward and go. But at the same token, I understand where he individually, as a person, you know, is somewhat, I guess you could say, not insecure, but I don't know, I can't think of the word, reluctant to want to go is because he doesn't want to feel like everybody, you know, is judging him for his sexuality and all of those different types of things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just want, you know, it's great to hear somebody else's perspective, but Ambiance is baiting at the lips. He's got an opinion.
Yes,
go for
I
it.
Am.
Sure.
That's a contradiction from jump. Christianity is love thy man and accept people for who they are.
We're talking about LGBT.
Not accepting of who they are. This goes hand in hand. don't open the door and dangle a bait in front of my face and don't expect me to run at it with my teeth gnarled. Because that's basically what this is about. This is a contradiction. And this is where I get, this is why I'm so up in arms about it, because it is a man who loves a man is still a man who deserves God's love. Now, whether or not you agree with it or not, you have no right to tell him he is wrong. Because at the end of the day, God made him that way, did he not? She made him that way. We're talking about your son. He's uncomfortable in a situation where he's being judged based off of his choices in life and who he is and how God made him. God made me black. But the world and Christians seem to think that it's a crime for me to be this way. Christians seem to demonize me as being a black woman.
Sorry, Aunt Ben, did you mean for you to be black?
Hold on. That may not be who you are, and I have never one time said that that was who you are. The bigger, the majority, if you go on any event, Christian network, you look at the words in these Bibles, it is basically telling you homosexuality is wrong. If I had internet right now, I could Google the verses that specifically tell you that homosexuality is wrong and they should be stoned. But you're saying that's your interpretation. Yeah, I get you're saying I heard everything that you said. That woman, you feel that a man and woman should be together. But you know that you aren't supposed to degrade or make them feel bad or shun them or any of those things. That's your belief, and I respect your belief. But the religion itself, and these are your interpretations of the religion, but the religion specifically, black and white, bold, says that the LGBTQ community is not a part of Christianity. And if they are, then we need to convert them back to heterosexuality. So I just, coming from knowing your son and loving your son the way I love your son, I don't appreciate that you sent him, make him go someplace where he is uncomfortable. So why would you make him do that? There are plenty of churches, there are plenty of Christian churches.
It's not, but again, there we lie on interpretation. I said church in general. I didn't say my church. So people hear what they want to hear. I said church in general. It makes him reluctant to want to go because he feels like he's the center of attention. He's now sensed liking going to our church because sometimes as a parent, and this is stepping out of the Christianity, but just as a parent, you know things that are better for your son. And for me and my walk with Christ, I know what God has done for me, and I know what God has brought out in me and everything, and that's what I want my son to have, that outlet, because I felt like if I had that outlet a little bit stronger and a little bit more, you know, consistently in my life, I wouldn't have made some of the sacrifices and some of the things and choices that I made in life. And I look at that, and I just wanted to hear from someone else's perspective that walks that same walk in Christ with me to understand about the LGBT community, because that is an uncomfortable thing. Some churches are modernizing and moving forward in their understanding, you know, and stuff like that, because although the Bible says what the Bible says, everybody takes what's in the Bible and they apply it to their life differently. Some people prefer Paul, while some people prefer Mark, while some people understand Abraham, while some people live off of John, and so on and so forth. And that's, you know, ultimately what it is. I'm not going to put my child in an environment that's uncomfortable for him because they're ridiculing for who he is. But as a parent, I am going to put him in an environment that's going to give him a spiritual backing that I believe that he deserves and that he's going to be able to utilize in the long run. Whatever ideology and everything and stuff that is out there, whatever image and stuff like that, I am recreating what everybody talks about in making the change. And by me going to church and by me evangelizing, I'm recreating the image of God as an African American. through the Vaughn household.
I thought we were moving on
and
to a different subject.
We are. But, I mean, that was, that's the main, hot topic of conversation because that's a whole community that we have out there. Just the LGBT community is a community that we have out there that people ridicule and they make fun of. So moving back into, you, Joey G, are you a parent, And what do you, how do you feel like music is socializing kids these days? We had a great, conversation about it yesterday, and Tiff Page was saying she tries to make music that she knows that her kids can listen to and tries to steer them away because, unfortunately, what we hear on the radio here in the States is a lot of drugs, hoes, niggas, So, what is it like for you over there in the UK?
First of all, yes, I'm married. I've got two kids. My daughter is 5. She'll be 6 in a few weeks. And my son is 2. Only just turned 2 just a few months ago. The 5-year-old is actually very musical. she's, well, I love her dearly, as you'd expect. But she's always liked music. She's into dancing. She goes to a dance school, a school for drama, acting, and dancing. And I introduced her to some of my music. She's such a darling. Anywhere she goes, she plays one. I've got a video on YouTube, so she plays the video to say, "Hey, look at my dad." On YouTube, obviously. It's very touching for me. But recently, I had the opportunity of being on a mainstream telly, and they filmed us together as a family, I was interviewed on mainstream telly. There's a program on the main channel in our country called BBC One called Songs of Praise. It's a religious program on some mainstream TV. So I was featured on it recently. It was broadcast on the 15th of September, but my family featured as well. And my daughter was so proud of the fact that, we could be on telly and stuff. But going to what you were talking about, the UK is influenced heavily by American music, as you would expect, the American music dominates the charts. Of course, we have our own artists as well. We have British artists, but we know most of the artists, that are over there in America, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Kanye West and Drake and, old Chris Brown, all these people, feature on our charts quite regularly. So, we get a lot of American music, Khalifa, West Khalifa, and, we get all these people over here as well. So, so I'm feeling you. I know exactly what you're talking about. But what we try to do, because, with my daughter going to the School of Dancing, Acting, and Music, she gets influenced by that, but I temper that by exposing her to good Christian music as well. So, and when sometimes there's certain songs with bad lyrics that we don't let her listen to, and we watch her closely to make sure she doesn't just go on YouTube, with our smart TV, she can go on YouTube. We don't just let her watch anything. We make sure that we keep an eye on what she's watching.
Is she big Elsa and Anna watches? Does she like the Elsa and the Anna and some of those other things? Because that's the thing that I've been noticing a lot with this YouTube. It's like these older people that are dressed up in, children's characters and making these inappropriate videos. And it's just, as a parent, it's just, overwhelming sometimes trying to micromanage what, or filter out the content that they can watch on the YouTube, and these children are so resilient, in what they're doing, and I found that that's, a difficult task, and being, I'm not now, but for quite some time, you know, I was single parenting and ended up and trying to monitor and master all of that. Do you feel like it's beneficial, you know, for you having a two-parent household and, you know, and you and your wife kind of tackling the task together, you know, to rear your children?
Yeah, I mean, it's been helpful, and we agree on that, because I think it'll be a very difficult situation if one parent thinks, oh, it doesn't really matter, and the other one doesn't want them to be exposed to, you know, stuff that's not helpful. But we agree on that, so that's been a great help. We generally don't let her watch things when we're not there, you know, when we're not. You know, we've got a smart TV that requires a pin anyway, so she can't just go there and watch anything. And when we, if she's able to get round and when she's managed to start watching things that she's not supposed to, we've actually, you know, stopped her mid-flow to say, hey, you're not allowed to watch that because, you know, we don't think it's helpful.
Okay, I can dig it. How do you, you know, stepping off into the realm of parenting, how do you monitor, you know, how do you guys monitor who she can play with and who she can't play with, you know, and that's some of the things that I think that I, you know, just personally struggle with as a parent, because some of these parents are just not responsible, you know, and
yeah.
The kids, they want to go and they want to have play dates and they want to spend the night at so-and-so's house, but you look at, you know, we
yeah.
can't help it. We're judgmental people. So if you see, you know, so-and-so's mom smoking a cigarette or just having a casual drink at a time that just doesn't seem appropriate, you're thinking in your mind,
yeah.
like, oh, hell no, my child is not going
sure.
over there, you know, but this may be your child's best friend. So how do you how do you find that balance?
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, I don't even think my daughter's 5, she'll be 6 in October. She hasn't really been sort of friends for sleepover. She's been to a godmother for sleepover. She's been to the grandparents for sleepover. But we haven't just go, I'm sure you understand why we haven't just allowed our daughter just to go anyway. You know, you've got to be so careful these days, you know, with all the scandal, you know what I'm referring to. So we don't just let our daughter just go anyway. In terms of playing with friends and stuff, we generally, if she wants to go out, you know, of our house to play with her friends in the street, yeah, we make sure one of us is around. She could go play, you know, like she gets a scooter or bicycle and she rides, but we make sure we're watching her. We don't just let her go off on her own. Because, you know, she's only 6 at the moment, so, you know, we don't just let her wander off anyhow. There's another girl next door who comes calling for her sometimes so they can go and play. And when it's possible, you know, we let her go and play, but one of us sits outside to keep an eye on them as they play, because we don't just want them wandering off anyhow. So those are the checks and balances we have in place. It might be different for other people, but that's what we do.
Okay. I'm Beyonce. So you still with us?
I never left.
Okay. You got any thoughts on parenting?
Teach him the truth.
Come on. Join the conversation. I'll be honest. We miss you. You know, we're learning some different things here with parenting, because I think that's a taboo subject, man. It's hard. Whew.
I mean, it varies. It's based off of interpretation. So, I mean, there's cultural norms that, you know, I might not necessarily agree with. You do the best. Like we were talking yesterday in regards to having your kids be able to conversate with you. And I don't know what I did, but, you know, my 15-year-old still comes into my room to ask me because she needs to vent or she needs to have. And they're, you know, teenager issues which have no bearing in her future life, but right now they're this huge deal. And I think that one of the things that we talked about yesterday is just keeping that line of communication open with them, even from an early age, even at 6 years old, having them be able to, you know, one, expanding their vocab, to be able to articulate some of the things that's going on in their lives, having adult conversations with these children to the extent of, you know, talking to them like people and not kids. I think this opens up the door for so much more communication on their part. It helps them grow to be individuals. I believe it's really important that you expose them to all things. I was never, religion was not forced on me, and I thank my mother for that. I went to a Catholic school. I was baptized Baptist. I lived in a Jewish household. Well, my grandmother was scientific. I went to a scientific church. And, I mean, we've been to the Church of Scientology together. So, like, I'm not against religion. I believe that, and I'm not going into religion. I believe that kids should be exposed and have the opportunity to know what they want for themselves. And if we do that, we'll be in a better place of raising, you know, capable children who become capable adults.
So, Joey G, you know, what do you think are some of the big socializers, you know, of children these days? You know, I remember growing up, for me, it was TV. You know, I learned a lot of different things from, you know, Al Bundy and, you know, The Simpsons and, you know, Good Times and stuff like that. And, I mean, my mom did her job as well, too. She got us involved in some sports programs, which I really didn't care for. And where I kind of lost focus was we grew up in Compton and, you know, in the heart of the gang violence. And so, you know, gangs were everything to me growing up, you know, and, you know, I idolized them. I idolized the drug dealers. I idolized the people that had, like, you know, 7 girls and pagers and pulling up, you know, with the gold BBSs and stuff like that. I mean, that was the world that I lived in, and so you become a part of your environment. So as a parent, you know, how do you socialize your children to, you know, not want to be a part of your environment if the environment is not always cohesive?
Yeah, that's obviously a difficult one, and that is a huge challenge. But personally, for me, I'm just grateful that where we live, for example, you know, I live in a rural area. I live in North Wales. You know, there are some cities close by, you know, where all those things, you know, drugs and violence and, crime, are prevalent at a high level. But thankfully, where I live, it's quite laid back. And those things are not easily accessible. So I'm really thankful to God for that. However, you know, being a Christian doesn't mean that you are immune from everything and you're oblivious, because you don't want, you know, the Bible tells us that we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, we should be aware of what's going on so that we can alert and enlighten our children, you know, about the dangers that are out there, because at some stage they're gonna leave this cozy environment and they're gonna have to maybe go, you know, they're gonna have to go out there in the world. So there's a balance of, yes, thank God we live in an environment where those things aren't accessible, but somehow we need to enlighten them. But thankfully my daughter is only 6 now, so she doesn't need to know a lot about that. But when the time comes, you know, we'll make her aware of these things. Do you get my drift?
So when do you think is the right? Yeah, I do, and that leads me to another question, because, you know, I struggle with this myself. My son is 18 and he's never really, I guess you could say, experienced cultural differences, you know, or never really experienced a lot of racism, you know, just luckily, you know, that he hasn't, you know. But at some point, these things are going to happen to where, you know, he's going to realize that there are differences and people who have different opinions and everything, you know, in the world. So what age do you begin to start, you know, preparing your child for it? Because that's something that you just don't know. I mean, it's the luck of the draw, you know, for everybody. Some could experience at a younger age, like, you know, my hair is straighter than yours, my skin is prettier than yours, you know, or it could be when you get into college, you know, or it could be, you know, when you apply for your first job and you look at somebody who's not
That's
as
right.
qualified as you, you know, but,
yeah.
you know, their skin color is different or their resources are different, you know. So at
yeah.
what point do you start preparing your children for something that they completely don't understand and you can't pinpoint
yeah.
when it's going to be affected, when they're going to be affected by it or infected, rather, because
yeah.
racism is
yeah.
a horrible thing.
Sure. I mean, I would say, as you know, most people know children are different. And even, you know, I'm not vastly experienced in parenting because, like I told you can tell I've only got young kids at the moment. But I can even see that there are differences in my daughter and my son already. You know, my daughter that's 5 and my son that's 2. My daughter, you know, she started asking some questions, and I think that's the best way that's when you know when to introduce certain things by the questions they ask. So, for example, she would ask me things like, why have we got a different color skin, for example? So then, you know, obviously, and then sometimes she'll tell me, oh, some boys at school, because actually, just to let you know, where I live, there aren't many black people around. It's a predominantly Caucasian area. I'm actually married to a white lady as well. So we've got mixed kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
same here.
So we,
you know, that's where I live in Houston. It's predominantly white as well, too. It's only
yeah.
a sprinkle of us, you know. And my wife is Russian and German and black.
Right. Okay. So you know, my daughter occasionally asks, well, why have we got brown skin? You know, and my wife came up with something and said, you know, said, allow you're brown, but that's the best color. You know, that's the best color for you, you know, because that's how God made you, you know. So, you know, and occasionally she'll say, oh, someone said, you know, I'm different, you know, and then we kind of encourage her to be secure in who she is. So you're already getting, it's already, I'm not saying like full blown racism, but she's already started questions, you know, and so when those questions pop up, then we've got to be there to reassure her. And then in terms of other experiences, like sometimes, you know, she'll say, like, even sometimes when we're watching certain programs, she'll ask why certain people are homeless, for example, you know. So we'll say, well, you know, not everyone who's homeless, you know, is a down and out. Some people are really clever. You know, they have decent jobs, but maybe circumstances, you know, went against them. Maybe they lost a loved one, and so, you know, they weren't feeling too good. They lost everything, but it doesn't mean that they are, you know, they're stupid, you know, just because they're homeless. You know, little things like that. And so you begin to explain.
Right, because everybody is homeless for different reasons. And believe it or not, I was doing a study, you know, some people are homeless because they're on the run, you know, and some people are just homeless because they don't want to be responsible. And I mean, I know that that's not everybody, but, you know, we were out, we did a project last Thanksgiving for my birthday where, you know, we raised money through the station to go out and feed the homeless. And I got to interview some of them. Now, I couldn't do it on camera because most people just didn't want to tell, you know, their story on camera. Because it's somewhat, you know, it's just not for the public eyes to see. But in talking to some of them, some of them, you know, were brilliant people who just, you know, fell into a hard time. And,
absolutely.
You know, whether people believe it or not, the people that are around you kind of control your mentality indirectly, whether you, you know, want to accept it or not. And, you know, some of them were saying that they just got to a point where they became complacent with, you know, with minimal in life, you know, and not having to worry about some of the different sacrifices, and others, you know, just could never get that, you know, because once you get to a certain point, you can't just walk into, you know, a corporate job, whether you're smart or not, because image is the first thing that people see, you know.
That's right.
you know, and if you smell like, you know, yesterday's trash, you know, and all those different types of things, people genuinely are afraid of you or don't want to deal with you because it's something that they don't want to understand. It's not that they can't understand it. It's just that they don't, they don't want to understand. And I think that, you know, and that's where we've gotten in this world. We're so quick to judge for everything.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's scary.
Yeah,
and that's scary as a parent because it's like, how do you position your child to be okay with being judged but not insecure about it, you know?
That's right.
Because we all look different. We spend differently, eat differently, and everything. And that's one of the things that I worry about, you know, like, because you see these Lifetime movies, you know, and yes, I'm admitting on air that I do watch some Lifetime movies, you know, or whatever. And you think, you just think, like, you know, what if that's my child that gets abducted and I'm, you know, waking up every night wondering, are they going to come back home because, you know, they made a poor choice or they were insecure, you know. And this internet, while it's great because without the internet, I'd have no idea who Joey G was because you're not in Houston, you know. But but at the same token, it's scary because the internet are like, you know, prescription drugs. You got to use it what it's used for, but you can't abuse it because it has no chill, you know.
That's right.
So, but it's definitely been, you know, some opening conversation, I think. You know, we had a great episode today with Ratchet and Rational, you know. And before we kind of get into your social media, let's check out your song. We've been talking so much, we didn't get a chance to hear Superhero. So here's Superhero by Joey G.
You know, I thought I was going to have to exit the game, but the Lord said you still got to lift up my name. So here I am with Superhero. We all know Superman fights to risk it all. Batman is gonna lose his reputation, giving it his all. Spin the web, my favorite Spider-Man, but the greatest hero, my lord, my king. Jesus Christ, yes he died, yes he risked it for us all. Jesus Christ, from above, just to live life like a man. Jesus Christ, yes he died, just to save us from our sin. Anything for their cause. Every hero needs something to fight for a just cause. Iron Man sets aside stuff to defend the weak. The heroes lay aside ambitions, let action speed. No one did it better than my Lord, Jesus Christ. He took the ultimate risk, a costly but safer than this. He made it risk, broke history like a disc. The greatest hero became zero so we can escape. You know, Jesus Christ, the greatest superhero, he bore the risk. Oh, the superheroes like I continue here, they come to save the world. Captain America crash lands to save the planet. My word, superheroes take devastating blows like losing your life. Lose loved ones, loves go without a wife. The Hulk is so incredible, can't be destroyed by a knife. The Hulk is so incredible, can't be destroyed by a knife. But my Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, yes he died, just to save us all. Jesus Christ, a sacrifice, just to ransom all. Jesus Christ, yes he died, he's the savior of the world. Jesus Christ, yes he died, he's the savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the ultimate savior, the ultimate warrior. He took on the fight against sin and death. Laid his life on the line, give his final breath. You can't measure the length, the depth, or the breadth of my Savior's love, the factor behind his death. The conquering Savior, the Lion, who became a lamb. The sacrificial lamb, who died like as a lamb. The sacrificial lamb, who died like as a lamb. Superheroes seem to live forever, they timeless, ageless, youthful, forever young, but active nonetheless. Yo, Captain America, President of Forces, came back in the 21st. Ever wondered how superheroes seem to hang around forever? But Jesus Christ, yes, he died and rose again. Gave his life so he can take it up again. Jesus Christ, yes, he died and rose again. He'll be back just to take us home with him.
Jesus Christ, he's the savior of them all. Now, do you consider that to be, because when I hear it, you know, I hear more so spoken word than I, you know, that's what comes to mind for me than like an actual song. And I'm not discrediting you in any way. You know, I'm just saying like that I hear spoken word. So do you ever say, you know, or utilize it as maybe spoken word as well too?
Well, not really, to be honest with you. I've never been so big on spoken word, although I appreciate people who do it really, really well. That was just my style on that song, you know. There are some other songs as well, you know, but I did send you my other tracks, you know. It's funny that you were talking about drugs earlier. You know, I do another song about them called Don't Do Drugs on the same EP, my superhero EP. So I suppose you need to listen to more of my songs to sort of get a feel for my style, which is quite diverse.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think I appreciate the originality, you know, in the style. And I, you know, for me, I appreciate, and I'm not trying to open it back up, but I appreciate the message as well too. Now, I don't know that like my younger son may listen to something like that just because, you know, it's not what is the wave of music right now. But at the same token, I like the fact that that's something that is showing that African-American artists don't just make, you know, booty bounce, you know, type of music, you know, or degrading music that introduces you to, you know, to saying that drugs are cool. So, you know, while it's not completely something that, you know, I see the style and I hear spoken word, but that's just one man's interpretation amongst millions. But I don't see people just cutting it off, because I also like the fact, you know, I like the little cadence in there. He's the savior of them all. You know, and that's my professional opinion. Ambiance, do we dare? What is your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
You down there. You down. It was cool.
Okay. Well, definitely. Definitely. Joey G. It's been a pleasure having you here on the show.
Thank
Tell
you.
Us where we can follow you on social media.
Right. So you can get me on Facebook, facebook.com/joey.g.breakthrough. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/joeyg294. And you can get me on Instagram, joeyg294 as well. And if you want to get a feel for more of my songs, you can go to joeyg.hearnout.com. joeyg.hearnout.com to get a feel for more of my tracks.
Okie dokie. Well, definitely, this is Ratchet Irrational. You know, follow me at Official DJ Thruvo. Follow Ambiance at KRXN Radio. It's always a pleasure, you know, to get, you know, I think that we got some great controversy out today, and I think we had some great topics. I wish that the segment were longer so we could really go in, you know, and delve into it, because I think it's just so much behind it, you know, and everybody has their strong beliefs on what we all believe and what we all feel. So I definitely appreciate you coming here on Ratchet Irrational.
Yeah.
You know, and any new music that you have, you know, keep us posted and send it our way. PressKRXM@gmail.com. Attention Ambiance, attention DJ Thruvo, and we'll be more than happy to check it out and go from there. Joey G,
Thank
we wish you,
you
the best
for having
of
me.
Your career. Huh?
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and it's been a pleasure as well speaking to DJ
it's
Thruvo on Ambiance.
It's been good. No disrespect, man. All love.
Even though Ambiance gave me a hard time.
But that's you got the good ambiance today, because had we had more time, you know, it would have been a lot more. But we, you know, it's, the thing of it is we're all passionate people, And that's what makes us artists. And we're all passionate about what we believe. And my opinion is not greater than yours, and yours is not greater than Ambiance, because that's what they are, their opinions. And so, you know, and but we, the bigger picture of it is that we did it in a way where nobody got so angry that they were cursing each other out or hanging up, which is effing awesome, you know. And, you know, I definitely think this was probably by far one of my most, you know, the most fun episodes, because so many people just jump on the air and they're just like, yeah, life is good, da, 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 because that's what the, you know, the announcers or the broadcasters, that's what they do. But this Ratchet Irrational is set forth to stir up chaos, to stir up emotions, and to stir up, you know, the person behind the music, because that's what's going to make people want to listen to what it is that you have to offer. You can place a million posts, check out my music, listen to my song, do you like my song, like it here, share it there. But if they hear an interview and see what it is that you stand for, then that's going to want to make them give what it is that you have a chance. And then it's up to the music.
That's right.
And so we appreciate you, you know, sitting at the judgment table with us. And and we're gonna lead out with Like Who by Bankroll Leezy. This is Ratchet Irrational, and we are out.
Dirty soda like a hoe, big mouth, count money like a hoe, bankroll, all these ends like a hoe, the Zan man, but they really know a hoe, the Pac man, moonwalking on your bitch, Michael Jackson.
Nana's Magic Soup.
I'm looking after my grandson today. He's not feeling well and my daughter's at work, so I'm cooking something to make him feel better.
It's lots of stuff he doesn't normally like. Carrots, onions, peppers.
Until I put them all in the blender
and turn them into a bowl of Nana's Magic Soup.
Thanks, Nana.
You're welcome, my love.
Make your own magic soup that's packed with flavour and two of your five a day. Food Love Stories. Brought to you by Tesco.